May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I've just been spending months and months in the book of Acts and just reading through it again and contemplating again the manual for normal Christianity. And I saw something this morning, a bunch of stuff, but that just fascinated me, and I've read it lots of times, but it just really spoke to my heart and about the priority of God. And this is in Acts chapter 2, in verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pierced to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent, and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God shall call to himself." And with many other words, he solemnly testified, or the word really is bore witness, it's the same word for witness. He solemnly bore witness and kept on exhorting them, saying, "Be saved from this perverse generation." The word perverse here is the word we get scoliosis from. It just means crooked, something that's twisted. And then when he says the word, this is interesting to me because he doesn't say, and I guess I just read through this over the years, it's kind of like he was talking about heaven and hell and being saved. And most of us, especially if you're raised in the South, you hear the word saved, but I find that true among all evangelical Christians. They immediately think about going to heaven. But that's just a part of being saved. I mean, what in the world happens to us between here and heaven? I'm so glad I'm going to go to heaven, and I'm so glad that salvation is going to be completed when I get to heaven. But as we've talked about before, from the moment of my new birth, I'm being saved. It's finished there when I see him face to face. I'll get a new body that can contain glory. But that's really not what he says here at all. It's not a sermon kind of like a brimstone and fire kind of sermon. He says, with many other words, he solemnly bore witness and kept exhorting them, not condemning them, not scaring them, but exhorting them. And that's the word paraclete. And it's the word we get for the Holy Spirit, but it means just to call alongside. He was encouraging them and exhorting them. And he said, and here was the exhortation, saying, and the language there is saying repeatedly, "Be saved from this crooked generation." He didn't say anything about going to heaven or going to hell. If he was talking about going to heaven, he would say, "Be saved from hell, from eternal damnation or whatever, separation from God." But the gospel that he shared with them was this, and he bore witness. Now, what does he do when he bore witness? I think he was sharing his own testimony. He said, "You use many words." I think he was saying to them what the Holy Spirit does, what he's come to do. He's come to emphasize Jesus. He's come to make Jesus real and alive inside of you. And he begins his saving work that moment. Now, the moment you receive Christ, of course, you're saved eternally. You're going to go to heaven. You're saved from sin's penalty. It's credited to your account. Jesus' death on the cross was your death on the cross, and he bore your sins, and therefore you bore your sins. You paid for your sins in his person as your representative on the cross. But there's also, when we go to heaven, this is not news to any of you, even this language, that we're going to be saved from the very presence of sin. But in the process, we're being saved from the power of sin. And what this scripture says to us is that's God's first priority. The moment you receive Christ, the moment they were baptized into Christ, they were guaranteed a place in heaven. They didn't have to fear being under condemnation anymore, because we're not under condemnation according to Romans 8 if we're in Christ. But he says, the exhortation, again, the encouragement was this, and he repeatedly said it. You can be saved from this crooked generation and all the brokenness that this generation represents. That's what he's saying. Now think about that. Every generation, this is like, they give these names to all these generations, and shockingly, you'll find that in every generation, all the way back to Adam, there's some real familiar issues. And this generation is no more immoral than Sodom and Gomorrah and every other generation. But there are unique things that happen as a result of cultural stuff in every generation. This generation is supposed to be particularly self-centered, narcissistic, because they were raised, they call them helicopter parents. helicopter parents were post-World War II parents who just stuck around all the time. Or at least one was there giving constant attention, like their kids to believe in themselves and believe in themselves, believe in themselves. And so as a result of Generation Xers and Generation, I think we're in Generation Y now, that they're supposed to be particularly narcissistic. But I've discovered in my generation, we were pretty narcissistic too. We just didn't have access to as much sin as people do now. You couldn't like do pornography by going to pull out your phone. You know, you had to go steal one from the 7-Eleven and then go out behind the store. You know, so the real issue is that like there were some generations that didn't have cars. So they just couldn't get, you couldn't get to sin as fast as this generation can, the social network. So I don't think, but the point is, I do believe every generation gets more neurotic. The snowball of sin's effect gets bigger and bigger as it goes downhill. And so I do believe this is the most neurotic generation of all. And mine was pretty neurotic myself, and I proved that in my own personal life. Then God healed me from my own mental illness. But here's the gospel that he gives, this the first presentation of the gospel being preached. After they were to be baptized and they're going to be filled with the Spirit, he says, here's the thing, and my own life is a testimony. And that is this, that he's come and he's exhorting them. He's trying to make them feel there's hope. The gospel gives hope. It's not a condemnation, it gives hope. And the good news, not just about sins forgiven. He said, here's the hope. God can save you from all the brokenness in your life. That particularly is relevant for your particular generation. He didn't say God's going to save you from hell. God can save you from the now. In other words, he's willing, he's able to save you and prepared to save you from yourself, your fallen self. And you see, that's what happened to me. When I received Christ or I surrendered my life to Christ, I never had a question whether I was going to go to heaven. That wasn't my issue. I was living in hell while on earth. I needed something to happen now. I was already living in hell in my mental illness. I needed somebody to do something about that. And I went and bought every book I ever could buy that said the key to. If it said the key to, I would do that, buy it. And I shared this a little bit yesterday. And I would read Romans 7 over and over again. Who, you know, Romans 7, the things that I hate, I do. The things I want to do, I can't do. And I would read that and go, that's me, that's me, that's me. And so I was waiting for the solutions, the answer. But I kept looking for a formula. Because particularly Westerners, we're formula people. And he would get down to the end of Romans 7 and said, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he would go, thanks be to God through Christ our Lord. I thought, no, don't close. That's like a closing. In Jesus' name, I'm out of here. Don't get to the place where you're saying the same thing I'm saying. You know, who will set me free? Who will deliver me from this body of death? And then close. And then one day, and this is really the night that God changed my life, when I was filled with the Spirit. One day I was reading it and I saw, he didn't say what shall deliver me. He said, who shall deliver me? And he gave the answer with an acclamation of faith. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. That Jesus Christ had come to live inside of me to set me free from myself and my broken self. And if you've been around a while, you know this is one of my favorite scriptures. This is Romans chapter 5. It's an amazing place. Romans chapter 5. Verse 10, for if while we were enemies, lost, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Thank God that he died for my sin. And I paid the price for my sin in his person. I don't have to fear going to hell or being condemned. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more. Much more. His death for me guaranteed my place in heaven. His life in me guarantees heaven's presence in me. For while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more, having been reconciled, born again, we shall be saved by his life. It's one thing to understand that you were saved by his death. But what Peter was offering is to be saved by his life. And that was the first thing he shared with them. After sins forgiven, if you go back and read verse 37 again, repenting, being baptized, sins forgiven, he said, here's the invitation. The invitation is that Jesus Christ, Here's the exhortation. Here's your hope that every day he lives inside of you to save you by his life. So you don't have to live like the old you. You can live like the new creation, and it says in Colossians, where Christ is all and he's in all. That's the gospel. Thank God one day we're going to go to heaven, our sins are forgiven. But what about the years in between? For some of you young guys, I've only got a few years left, but some of you young ones, you got a long way to live in bondage and brokenness, being controlled by sin's power. He's come to live in you. He could have just guaranteed you heaven by just sitting on your shoulder. He's come to live in you to save you by his very life. That every day, thank God I'm forgiven. When I blow it, I'm forgiven, saved by his death, but much more. He lives inside of me to save me by his life from continually having to give in to that sin. Therefore, being released from the scoliosis of this generation. Because that's where wholeness, the word saved, as you know, is the word sozo. It means wholeness. Wholeness. You can know wholeness on this side, not just then. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.